From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
It's 25 degrees in Lawrence, 23 in Topeka. It's 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power for residential homes or businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Thanks so much for spending part of your evening with us here on KPR. We have news headlines coming up at 6:30. That will be followed by a rather contentious discussion with Republican Senator Ron Johnson. His name is Ron Johnson. He comes from Wisconsin. As far as I know, he never worked in a lumber mill there. We're going to talk about ICE operations in Minneapolis. We will check in with our Word of the Week series. And there's some breaking news tonight at this hour. Senate Democrats and Republicans have apparently come to an agreement on how to keep government up and running. It has been endorsed by Donald Trump. Now the big wild card is, what will the House do? We'll have the latest from Sam Greenglass coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, reminding listeners that dental checkups can help identify health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and more. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
If you have some spare time on February 27th and 28th, you're invited to a party. I mean, you're invited either way, but you could attend if you have time on February 27th and 28th. Celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Retro Cocktail Hour, a whole weekend of music and seminars and more. Information about the events and how to get tickets at kansaspublicradio.org. The time is 6:20. Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, the latest national, international, and regional news. Lots of things happen overnight, for example. I'm going to tell you about that very recent situation involving government funding. That happened just moments ago, and I expect there will be discussion of it overnight. At any rate, you can get caught up on everything first thing in the morning here on KPR. It's 25 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. It's 6:30.
The family. His defense team says he's currently battling advanced colon cancer. For NPR News, I'm Mawa Iqbal in Springfield, Illinois.
And you're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Republican lawmakers in Kansas have rushed to pass a bill that bars transgender people from using bathrooms based on their gender identity. Zane Irwin has the story.
The bill requires government agencies to divide restrooms and locker rooms by sex. Individuals who violate the law could face financial and criminal penalties. Legislative leaders used a procedural maneuver known as gut and go to fast-track the bill and avoid holding public hearings on the bathroom provisions. Republican Representative Susan Humphreys chairs the committee where the bill was introduced. She says everything she did was above board.
Procedurally, it was permissible to add it in, and that really just seemed like the best way to do it.
Democratic Governor Laura Kelly is expected to veto the bill, but two-thirds of lawmakers in each chamber support the legislation, which could allow Republicans to pass it anyway. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
In separate and unrelated cases, two Kansas men have been indicted for allegedly threatening violence against federal officials. A federal grand jury in Wichita returned the indictments earlier this month against two Wichita men. In one case, prosecutors accused 23-year-old Joaquin Hernandez of threatening to murder federal law enforcement agents with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. In a separate case, prosecutors say 60-year-old Adam Lee Osborne threatened to kill Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Both men are accused of using social media to convey the threats. The Wichita Police Department and the FBI are investigating both cases. Two people have been arrested in connection with the suspected homicide of a 5-year-old girl in Topeka. KSNT reports the girl was found when police responded to a medical emergency on Tuesday at a home in the 500 block of Southwest Buchanan Street. The girl had suffered life-threatening injuries and was taken to a nearby hospital where she died. A 24-year-old woman and a 35-year-old man were arrested. They are facing charges including first-degree murder. Police say the suspects are part of the victim's family but gave no further details. The investigation is ongoing. Lows around 10 degrees overnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the lower 20s. Tomorrow night, very cold with a low of 2 below zero. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from this station.
7 p.m. on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas. More information at lmh.org/primary.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Coming up on KPR, a little more All Things Considered. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, it's Classics Live. We will hear a rebroadcast of some music from the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Prairie Journal.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
It's going to be cold tonight, low right around 10 degrees tomorrow. Partly sunny, still cold. Highs in the lower 20s tomorrow night. Very cold with a low of 2 below zero. It is 10 minutes before 7.
R comes from this station and from Cigna Healthcare. At Cigna Healthcare, they're dedicated to being there through life's everyday and extraordinary health moments. Learn more at cigna.com/better. From the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, for 35 years sharing what works in schools today and working to inspire new ways to learn tomorrow. More at edutopia.org. From the Cy Sims Foundation, since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
A protest at an evangelical church where one of the pastors works for ICE is sparking a debate over disrupting church services and the morality of working for ICE. On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Get caught up on all the news from overnight and a whole lot more. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles, located in downtown Topeka, offering dental services with an emphasis on dentures and implants with all current health and safety protocols. More at drchronister.com.
Coming up next, another chamber music night from the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival. Here's some Prokofiev, a string quintet by George Onslow. Classics Live, coming your way in just about 60 seconds here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. It's going to be cold for the next few days, starting tonight, lows around 10, tomorrow's high only getting into the 20s, but barely, and sub-zero lows tomorrow night are expected. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, with a seat next to me, just for you. We're here in White Concert Hall at Washburn University, about to hear chamber music from Sergei Prokofiev and then George Onslow. Now a quintet of oboe, clarinet, violin, viola, and double bass are getting settled on stage here at the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka. He'll begin with music Prokofiev originally scored for a ballet orchestra for five musicians. In six short movements, here's the 1924 Quintet in G Minor by Prokofiev.
Thank you. Thank you.
Interesting chamber music from Sergei Prokofiev. Circa 1924, Prokofiev's Quintet in G Minor, Opus 39. Closely related to a long-lost ballet of his called Trapeze. He'd been approached in Paris by a small traveling dance and entertainment troupe who commissioned a short ballet for their performances. But their orchestra only had 5 members. The related ballet, Trapeze, was only reconstructed in 2002, and of course isn't as popular as his other ballets, say Cinderella or Romeo and Juliet. So part of it became what we just heard, Prokofiev's Opus 39, his Quintet in G Minor. Now Alex Klein, Jonathan Gunn, Eric Tanner, Orlando Wells, and John Moore have left the stage, and a string quintet made up of first and second violin, viola, cello, and double bass are getting ready to play something by George Onslow. George Onslow was a French composer of English descent who lived just a bit past Beethoven's years, or 1784 to 1853. Here's George Onslow's string quintet in D minor, Opus 45, played by members of the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival.
Thank you. Thank you.
after hearing the virtuoso string bass player Domenico Dragonetti, composer George Onslow, changed the way he wrote his string chamber pieces. He started writing in a part for the double bass, sometimes in place of a cello. We've just heard violinists Jin-Yi Kim and Jesse Thompson, violist Craig Mumm, cellist Paula Hochhalter, and string bassist Nicholas Solanos, playing the string quintet by George Onslow, French composer of English descent, 1784 to 1853. Wrapping up another night of the Sunflower Music Festival 2025 on a Tuesday chamber music night here in White Concert Hall in Topeka. We hope you've enjoyed this concert, and we encourage you to check out sunflowermusicfestival.org for more information about this yearly free music party. And check out kansaspublicradio.org for more information about this show, Classics Live, where we record great local classical concerts so we can bring them to you and to a wider audience. KPR sound engineer Chuck Smith recorded this concert, and I'm your classical concert mate, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Tenor Michael Spires with the Topeka Symphony Orchestra, led by Kyle Wiley Pickett, for De Capua's O Sole Mio. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Porter Cattle Company, raising cattle in the heart of wildcat country near Emporia, Richard Porter encourages all KPR listeners to support Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it is your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell those smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A Minneapolis man made his first appearance in federal court today on charges of assaulting Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar by spraying her with vinegar. As Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio reports, the suspect is also facing state-level charges.
Federal prosecutors allege that Anthony Kaczmarek sprayed diluted apple cider from a syringe on Omar at a town hall event Tuesday as she called for the impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty also filed charges. She says trust in federal law enforcement is diminished amid the Trump administration's armed operation here.
A successful prosecution will result in a state-level conviction that is not subject to presidential pardon now or in the future.
The 55-year-old remains jailed. His attorney says that her client has Parkinson's disease and mental health challenges. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in Minneapolis.
Power outages continue in parts of the southeast from winter storm Fern. As crews work to restore power, some people are afraid to seek help amid immigration crackdowns. From WPLN in Nashville, Mariana Bacchiao reports.
It's Tennessee's political, not literal, climate that has some people staying in their homes even as the overnight lows continue to dip below freezing. Lisa Sherman Luna with the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition says many people without legal status have avoided calling 911 or taking advantage of warming shelters in the cold out of fear of being deported.
All of us should be really disturbed right now that we have whole sections of our communities in Nashville who are going to face more hardship because they're having to make tough choices like stay in their homes and not go to a warming center and the risk that that puts on people.
As the winter weather continues, some households are now marking their fourth day without power. For NPR News, I'm Mariana Bacchiao in Nashville.
SpaceX is said to be looking at a merger with another company Elon Musk founded, xAI, potentially setting them up to launch data centers in space. NPR's Emily Fang reports that one of China's biggest aerospace companies also says it's looking at building data centers out in space.
China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation is a massive state-owned company that develops everything from satellites to space rockets. It says it's going to focus on space-based digital infrastructure, building up power-intensive computing and data centers floating in outer space to support artificial intelligence demands back on Earth. China and the U.S. are the primary competitors in space exploration, and according to Bloomberg, Musk's SpaceX wants to launch solar-powered AI data centers within the next 2 to 3 years. Under its current 5-year economic plan, China is also pouring resources into developing commercial uses for space, including a goal to launch its first commercial spaceflight by 2028. Emily Fang, NPR News.
U.S. stocks closed mixed today. This is NPR News from Washington.
Stardate January 29th. Gene Cernan was the last American to walk on the moon. As he prepared to leave it, he expressed optimism that his colleagues would return soon.
Take man's last step from the surface for some time to come, but we believe not too long into the future.
Well, it's probably been a little longer into the future than Cernan expected, but NASA is preparing to send astronauts back to the moon. The Artemis II mission is scheduled to launch in the coming weeks. It will carry 4 astronauts to the moon. They won't land or even go into orbit. But it will be the first time anyone has come close to the moon in more than half a century. The astronauts will follow a looping path to the moon. They'll fly behind it, coming within about 6,500 miles of the surface. The moon's gravity will sling them back toward Earth. They'll splash down in the Pacific Ocean. During the 10-day mission, the astronauts will check out all of the systems on the Orion spacecraft. They'll also conduct a few experiments and make some observations of the moon. Artemis II has been delayed by several years. Among other problems, during the unmanned Artemis I mission in 2022, the life support system and heat shield didn't work as planned. Astronauts are supposed to land on the moon during the next mission. Issues with the lander and other problems may delay that until 2028 or beyond, adding to the gap between moonwalks. We have more astronomy news in Stardate magazine. Subscription information at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. So glad to be listening to some music with you. Here's one of Franz Liszt's best-known etudes. It's called A Sigh.
Thank you.
Etude number 3 by Franz Liszt. That piece has showed up in a number of films, including the 1947 movie The Other Love, directed by André de Toth. It's played by the actress Barbara Stanwyck, not actually played by her, but she did practice quite a bit to try to make it look realistic. She practiced 3 hours a day for a month to try to get it right. So the director, de Toth's office, was across from Stanwyck's bungalow on the movie lot. And when he finally could no longer bear the noise of her practicing, he gave her a silent keyboard to use. Well, I'm guessing you remember Steve Jobs. Do you remember Steve Wozniak? Wozniak was the guy who actually invented the personal computer, or at least one that Jobs could market, right? Italian composer Arcangelo Corelli was the Wozniak of the concerto. He was the one who really established basic rules for the form. Vivaldi came along and wrote 500 concertos, basically made it what it is today. But he needed Corelli to get him started, just like Jobs needed Wozniak. Here's Violin Sonata number 12.
Thank you.
the Violin Sonata No. 12 with Not a Violin in Sight. It's also known as La Follia by Arcangelo Corelli. It's the other Lutheran composer coming right up.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. Support for KPR today comes from Brad Harsman, a teacher, U.S. Army musician, and longtime Kansas Public Radio supporter, listening from Japan. Brad is wishing a happy Kansas Day to his kids and all of the sons and daughters of Kansas. Thank you, Brad. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 21 and clear. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low single digits. It's 21 and clear. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Felix Mendelssohn was really pumped up for Reformation Day, 1830. He had this symphony in the books long before this 300th anniversary of the Augsburg Confession rolled around, really hoping the powers that be would choose it for the celebration. He missed out on that one. They chose somebody else. His symphony was described as too learned. How sinful. What was he thinking? Here's Symphony No. 5, Reformation. the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra performing the Reformation Symphony No. 5 by Mendelssohn. Coming up, the most Lutheran composer of them all. Mighty Fortress is Our God by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Neuvaughn House of Lawrence, assisted living, caring for people with age-related issues from memory care to physical needs. Do more, engage more, and live more at Neuvaughn House of Lawrence. And Bach Aria Soloists, presenting horn player, jazz pianist, and composer Chris Comer in concert, featuring works by Brahms, Massenet, Vivian Lee, and Comer. Thursday, February 12th at the 1900 building. More at BachAriaSoloists.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration continues to face public backlash over its ongoing immigration crackdown in Minneapolis, and courts in Minnesota are expressing frustration with the operation. NPR's Ryan Lucas has more.
Last night, the Minnesota Federal Court's Chief Judge Patrick Schiltz, he's a George W. Bush appointee, he issued an order that really took the government to task. The judge identified and documented 96 court orders that he said ICE had violated in 74 cases since January 1st. Judge Schiltz said that number is certainly understated, and he said, quote, ICE has likely violated more court orders in January 2026 than some federal agencies have violated in their entire existence.
NPR's Ryan Lucas reporting. A newly surfaced video shows 37-year-old ICU nurse Alex Preddy in a heated confrontation with federal officials 11 days before his killing in Minneapolis. He's seen kicking a car's taillight and damaging it before officers exited the vehicle and pushed him to the ground. There is no connection between the two confrontations. Massachusetts is joining a growing number of Democratic-led states pushing for limits on immigration enforcement. Governor Mara Healey is moving to stop ICE from carrying out warrantless arrests on state property. From member station WBUR, Simone Rios reports.
Governor Healey signed an order that blocks law enforcement from signing agreements to partner with ICE. She also filed legislation to require judicial warrants when ICE makes courthouse arrests. The Massachusetts Democrats cited cases where serious criminal charges have been dropped because victims are afraid to testify.
And then violent criminals left to roam free as a result, domestic abusers, people who commit rape and assault. When that happens, guys, it makes everyone less safe.
States including Illinois and Connecticut have enacted similar measures. ICE's own policy on courthouse arrests dictates that agents must observe local laws. For NPR News, I'm Simone Rios in Boston.
The European Union has designated Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization. Terry Schultz reports that means the elite military unit will now be put under sanctions.
It's a move that's been considered for many years, but the recent deadly crackdown by the Iranian regime on anti-government protesters brought all 27 EU governments into alignment in declaring the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a foreign terrorist organization. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas led the meeting of foreign ministers who made the decision.
When the atrocities were clear, then also it was clear that there has to be a very strong response from the European side.
The designation freezes all bank accounts of the IRGC held in the EU, criminalizes any interaction with the group, and bans its members from entering the bloc. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. Life expectancy has hit its highest mark in American history. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it was 79 years in 2024. It's the result of the dissipation of the COVID-19 pandemic and also waning death rates from the nation's top killers, heart disease, cancer, and drug overdoses. The growing prevalence of artificial intelligence in the classroom is challenging educators to make sure their students are learning and not leaning on AI. Lee Gaines has more.
Shanae Bond teaches English at Southwest High School in Fort Worth. Her students rarely use laptops. Instead, they write nearly everything by hand.
They are constantly and consistently doing everything with a pen or a pencil.
It's part of Bond's strategy to keep AI out of her classroom. But she may be in the minority. Roughly 60% of surveyed teachers said they used AI at least a little in their classroom. That's according to a July 2025 poll from the Edweek Research Center. Bond says she's open to changing her mind about AI, but right now she doesn't see much value in it for her students.
It's less harmful to me to make sure that they can do the things without the AI than to try and push the AI into my classroom.
For NPR News, I'm Lee Gaines.
A gymnastics medal disputed by the United States and Romania at the 2024 Paris Olympics is heading for a fresh legal review in a Swiss court to examine new evidence. Olympian Jordan Chiles was stripped of the bronze medal because the U.S. may have not challenged a score in time. Romania's Ana Maria Barbosu received the medal. The case rests on just a few seconds. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org.
Tenor saxophonist Richard Kamuka kicking off tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR with a tune that Dizzy Gillespie wrote and Diz and Charlie Parker played called Dizzy Atmosphere. It's our all-vinyl jazz hour in this hour of KPR's Jazz in the Night. Richard Kamuka on tenor sax with Blue Mitchell trumpet, Jimmy Rolls piano, Ray Brown bass, and Donald Bailey drums. This release in 1977, not long before the early demise of Richard Kamuka from cancer when he was still shy of his 47th birthday. Richard Kamuka, very under-recognized tenor saxophonist. We're going to hear another under-recognized saxophonist, alto saxophonist Eric Kloss, coming up in a few minutes here on Jazz in the Night. But we've got a couple of jazz classics from the vinyl vault for you ahead immediately. We'll have Bill Evans's trio and then Thelonious Monk. From the album Portrait in Jazz, December 28, 1959, recording for Riverside Records, it's Bill Evans piano, Scott LaFaro bass, Paul Motion drums, and Someday My Prince Will Come.
Thank you.
pianist Bill Evans trio with bassist Scott LaFaro, drummer Paul Motion, and Someday My Prince Will Come from the Riverside LP recorded right near the end of 1959 called Portrait in Jazz, one of the most influential jazz piano trio albums ever, as Bill with Scott and Paul were really rethinking and showing how you could have a different sort of piano trio, one that was less about the bassist and the drummer just hanging back and more about great interaction. A highly acclaimed record that many people think is one of the very best, if not the best, of the music ever recorded by Bill Evans. A similarly acclaimed album up next from Thelonious Monk on KPR. We've got Mel Lewis and the Jazz Orchestra with Big Band Jazz on our vinyl hour tonight as well. Support for D7. Riverside Records released Brilliant Corners, an album by Thelonious Monk that has also been hailed as one of the great recordings in the history of jazz and certainly of all that Monk made. We're going to hear a track that was recorded at a separate session from the others in which Clark Terry was playing trumpet and the bassist was Paul Chambers. The rest of the band, the same as the rest of the album, was Sonny Rollins on tenor sax, drummer Max Roach, Thelonious Monk at the piano with Bemsha Swing on KPR.